we conclude our series of Gods at War. This is the last series of idols that we've been studying and so on. Next week, we will begin our Advent series as we move into Christmas. And our Advent series will be based on the book of Ruth under the Bethlehem star. And so, but this morning, we get to finish up our series on idols. And it's entitled The God of Me. And it puts ourselves in the spotlight this morning of who we are and what we're like, and sometimes the way we can act or the way that we be in this life. And so you'll probably see some things about yourself, and hopefully you will see some things maybe you didn't know before, that your eyes will be open to some things, maybe the way you live life or things that you do without thinking about. And so may you learn some things today and be challenged in this message. And so we're going to read from a selection of Old Testament passages this morning. We're going to start off at Genesis 3, verse 5. You know that Genesis 3 is titled The Fall. It's where, up until this point, things were perfect. Creation was good. People were good. What God created was good. And then the serpent comes into the picture. And then we know that literally things go the wrong way, don't they? And so we're going to read just verse 5 this morning about how that sin has entered our lives, who we are now before God. And so let's read together. For God knows that when you eat from it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. So think about that verse for a moment. This is the serpent talking to Adam and Eve, enticing them to eat the apple, and that your eyes will be open to good and evil. And we definitely see good and evil in the world we live in today, and we put ourselves in that same category. Now, I'm going to have you go back to Ezekiel 28, verse 2. I want you to bypass Jeremiah. We're going to go right by that book, but we're going to come back to it. And the reason I'm doing that, because there's a proper sequence to these verses that tell a story. Ezekiel 28, verse 2. Excuse, yes, verse 2. You can find that on page about 1332. This is the prophet Ezekiel speaking here now, and these words came to him from the Lord, and this is what he says. Son of man, say to the ruler of Tyre, this is what the sovereign Lord says. In the pride of your heart, you say, I am a god. I sit on the throne of a god in the heart of the seas. But you are a mere mortal and not a god, though you think you are as wise as a god. Notice those are small g's, and put yourself in that context as well. Now turn with me to the book of Jeremiah, chapter 2, verse 9 through 13. This will be the basis of our message this morning of what God's people are like and what Jeremiah has to say to God's people. Jeremiah chapter 2, verse 9 through 13. Find that on page about 1172. Therefore I bring charges against you again, declares the Lord. And I will bring charges against your children's children. Now let me stop there for just a moment. Notice when we read that I will bring charges against your children's children, what God is simply saying is that this is going to be an ongoing problem for you. This isn't ever going to go away. As long as there's sin in the world and my people are in the world, you're always going to face this in your life. And so with that in context, we read on. Cross over to the coast of Cyprus and look. Send to Kedar and observe closely. See if there has ever been anything like this. Has a nation ever changed its gods? Yet they are not gods at all. But my people have exchanged their glorious God for worthless idols. Be appalled at this, you heavens, and shudder with great horror, declares the Lord. My people have committed two sins. They have forsaken me, the spring of living water, and have dug their own cisterns, broken cisterns that cannot hold water. The word of the Lord. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we pray for your Holy Spirit today. We pray that your work will be done here within your church, within your people. Lord, I pray too that these words would be your words and not my own. And Lord, I pray that as these words go out, that they touch the lives of those that have gathered here. And so, Lord, we pray for your Spirit to come join us now. In Jesus' name, amen. How many of you enjoy a good steak? Anybody out there like a good steak? Or maybe you have another favorite meal that you really enjoy, and sometimes you go out to a restaurant that you like to eat at, in your favorite restaurant, and and I know we just had Thanksgiving, and a lot of you maybe are still full yet, and you're not that hungry yet, and so on, but think about a good steak off the grill, or maybe one at Texas Roadhouse, or whatever your favorite steakhouse would be. Imagine that you take your family to this favorite place you like to eat. And so you go to the steakhouse and you get the menus out and you order for your children filet mignon, the best steak on the menu. You pay good money for that steak. It's done right. It's wrapped in bacon and it looks juicy when it comes to you. And it's hot and it's sizzling and you can't wait to eat. But then one of your children pulls out this piece of beef jerky out of their pocket. Now, I don't have any beef jerky in me this morning, but you have to imagine with me. And that beef jerky, it's old, it's full of lint, it's kind of stale. And they decide that, you know what, I'm going to have this beef jerky for supper instead of the steak that my mom and dad bought me. How are you feeling about that right now? What are you thinking? Has your child eats that stale, lint-filled piece of beef jerky from their pockets that you don't know how old it is. And you bought them this beautiful, luscious steak, filet mignon. Would you get a little upset at your child? Would you try to tell them that, this steak is actually better? It's going to taste great than that beef jerky that you're chewing on that you don't know how old it might be? So let me ask you the next question. Think how God feels when we reject his living water for our own cisterns. And I'll explain to you what that verse means in a little bit and what a cistern is and so on. But think about that. This is how God feels because he makes that juicy steak for us all the time. He says, here it is. This is my grace, my love, My joy for you that I want you to have. But yet, a lot of the times, God's people choose the stale piece of beef jerky out of their own pocket. In life. All right, so let's unpack this verse this morning, and let's dig into that. How many of you know what a cistern is? Some of you that may be that a little older and stuff like that, yeah. I remember growing up south of town on the farm, we had a cistern on the north side of the house that called the rainwater off the gutters and that went into a cistern, and you either drank from that or you cooked or washed from that, or it was your water supply. Well, let me tell you, back in Jeremiah's day, they had cisterns where they lived. It was a viable source of life for them. It didn't rain a whole lot. Can you imagine living in the Middle East? They didn't get a lot of rain. So in their communities, in their towns, wherever they lived, they would build a cistern, much like the one you see in the screen today. In fact, they have uncovered thousands of cisterns from biblical times in the Middle East that people used. They're still there yet today. This is one of them that is still there yet today, in fact. You can see the hole in the ground and in the bottom. You can't see it so well here, but in the bottom it was coned a little bit, and then there was a small drop in there that I'm assuming that's where all the sediment and the fines would settle down into and so on in these cisterns. But it was a key part of life. It was survival for them that they had to have to live in these communities. But they had a problem with these cisterns. Sometimes they would crack and they would leak out and the water would be gone. Sometimes the water would not be restored and it would get a little stagnant and stale, and they might get a little bit of green slime on the top once in a while and it might begin to stink. How many of you ever been to Lake Pahoya in late August and you get the scum on the water and it smells a little? Anybody been there with that? Yeah. Just think, a cistern might get like that. Stagnant and stale. And so the people, they would have understood Jeremiah's message when he came to them and said, you have this living water in Jesus Christ, but you choose this stagnant water that you have in your cisterns for life. Now, there's a deeper meaning here, and we'll get to that in just a moment. But you get this metaphor as well. So next to this cistern, I have a picture of a mountain stream with clean, cool, refreshing water running through it. See, that's what comes before us. That's what Jeremiah said to his people in that day. Which one are you going to choose? Because you can see one is our ways, the stagnant, stale cistern that we think is best, that we know is good for, that we think is good for us. Or you can choose the way of Jesus Christ, which is a freshly flowing stream of cold, fresh water. Let me ask you a question. How many of you would choose the cistern today to drink out of? Nobody. How about the flowing fresh stream of cold water that's running down out of the mountains? It's fresh from the snow caps. It's clean. It's pure. Nothing in it. Anybody care to drink out of that water today? Yeah, exactly. You see, that's the point that Jeremiah's trying to make to the people. You've traded your ways for your own cistern. Now, that sounds a little different, but what he's trying to get at is that you've traded your own ways, your idols, for the true God. The true God. That's the point this morning. And let me share some other things with you this morning. The reality is, there's one God, and you and I are not him. Now, we get that, don't we? We know there's one true God in heaven, and his son Jesus Christ is sitting at his right hand, and the Spirit is outpouring across the world and is doing his work in the world within his people and so on today. We get that. But let me ask you this question. You know there's a true God in heaven, but whom are you serving in your life? Whom are you serving? The true God and the Creator, or the God of me? When I say that, I mean the God of us, the God that sits inside of you, that controls and so on and so on. Let me just go through this morning and let's learn together what this says. Because of the fallen world that we live in, you have the natural desire to live out Genesis 3 verse 5. You want to be your own God. You want to be in control of your own destiny. You want to control the things in your life. That is your natural desire, a sinful desire that has been imputed into you because of the fall, because of sin that has entered the world. Every one of us has that issue. Whether you're a believer in Christ or not, wherever it is, you have that within you. You have the desire to be your own God. And you've got to fight that every day. Your desires, your thoughts, your actions, your motives, the things you want out of this life, the things you want to do in this world, are centered around those things. Every day, the serpent is going to be waiting for you and challenging you in your faith. And you have to make a choice. Am I going to serve the God of me, physical water here that we have on earth, or maybe our own cisterns that we draw from, the idols that we might turn to. But whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst. Meaning you will be satisfied in this world. You will be at peace with things in this world, not of the world, but things in this world, because of your peace through Jesus Christ that only He can offer. So if you're struggling with things in your life today and you're not at peace with things in this world, you need to look to Jesus. That's where it comes from. That's the living water that He talks about. Now, we had a message this past Thursday on Thanksgiving that talked about being content with the world that we live in. And that contentment does not come from this world, but contentment is of the heart, and it comes through Jesus Christ and the world that we live in. It's the only source for everything that you deal with in life. A few more questions for you this morning. What are you thirsty for, people? Are you stressed out? We've got a holiday season coming. Is your stress level pretty high? Are you searching for peace because things are broken and they're not right in your world? Are your family or your job or your life or whatever that might be? Are you lonely? Do you want to be loved? Are you bored? Are you thirsty for purpose? Are you thirsty for acceptance? Are you thirsty for significance? For validation? That you're good enough, or something more? Ask yourself those questions this morning. The God of me relentlessly will chase after you in this world. And Jesus says, drink from my spring and you'll never thirst again. You'll be filled from within. You know, that's a great picture of peace. A great picture of contentment, of joy, of fulfillment, of belonging, of love, of hope in your life. Let me tell you, we all need this water, every one of us. May God fully sit on your throne, the throne of your heart. I hope that this series has challenged you. I hope that you understand how the things of this world compete for your heart and your first love. And I hope that your eyes have been opened to the idols that we deal with. And all of God's people said,